Well, let us turn again to Matthew chapter 11, and we take for our text verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What we have here in our text, and also in the following texts of 29 and 30, is a most glorious invitation of Christ to come unto him. What we have in these verses, verse 28 to 30, is a threefold invitation. An invitation to come and receive, verse 28. An invitation to come and take, in verse 29. And an invitation to come and learn, verse 29 and 30. It is an invitation from a Saviour to sinners. One who is the mediator between God and man. It is the mediator who issues this threefold invitation in his capacity as mediator, in his threefold office: prophet, priest, and king. It is an invitation from Christ our high priest to be saved, verse 28. It is an invitation from Christ our king to be ruled, verse 29. And it is an invitation from our great prophet to be taught by him, in verse 29 and 30. And it is my intention over the next number of weeks to take each of these texts and consider each of these invitations from our blessed Redeemer. Now, the context in which this threefold invitation is issued must be kept in mind as we consider them. And the context is found in 25, verse 25 and 27. Verse 27, we read, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So what is the context then of this great invitation of Christ? It is in the light of the doctrine of election and of the sovereignty of God. And in the light of election and of sovereignty, there is still this invitation to sinners to come on to Christ. Well, let us consider verse 28 then under the theme, come and receive. Firstly, we have the invitation to come. Come unto me. Dear friend, we are immediately confronted with one of the great words of the gospel. Come. Come. And it is similar to those gospel words, look, look unto me, look unto Christ, or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What is meant here by this word come is a turning of the soul of the sinner to Christ. This, dear friends, is the ultimate gospel invitation as we find it throughout Scripture. And it is used in a general sense and also a particular or a special sense. What do I mean? Well, let us consider a general call and a special call from a book in the Old Testament and a book in the New Testament. Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Here we have the general call of the gospel. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. So there we are. There's the general offer of the gospel. Goes out unto all men who hear the gospel. And then in the same book, Isaiah 55 and verse 1, we have this special call, a peculiar call. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. That call goes out to those who are thirsty. Not all sinners are thirsty for what Christ offers. Some sinners are quite satisfied drinking from the cisterns of sin in this world. And yet there are those sinners who are thirsty. And they hear this call to come to the waters. But in the New Testament, we have the book of Matthew. And in chapter 22, we have that great parable, the parable of the marriage of the king's son. And in verse 3, we read that the king sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And what does he then do in verse 9? He tells his servants, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So there's that general call of the gospel. They were to go into the highways and into the byways, and they were to say, come to the marriage feast. But then we have the peculiar call, the special call, and that's in verse 28 of Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. You see, dear saints, by insisting upon the special nature of this invitation in verse 28, we are not in any way limiting the call of the gospel. The call to come, but rather we are remaining faithful to the text. Because the text clearly states, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Now, any charge that is charged against this being a narrow call of the gospel is surely a charge levied at Christ's own words. But we'll come to this in our second point. So we have this gospel word, come. And it is an invitation with authority. We have it here in the imperative. It is a command. Christ is commanding that those who are burdened come unto him for rest. Therefore, what are we to make of that? Well, no matter the circumstance, you are to come. No matter the obstacle that may be in your way, if you are burdened, if you labour and are heavy laden, you are to come unto Christ for rest, the rest for your soul. We read that in verse 29, the last clause, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Come to who? Who is the burdened sinner to come unto? Well, it is quite clear from our text. It says, come unto me. You're not to come unto the church. You're not to come unto the prayer meeting. You're not to come unto the minister. You are to come unto Christ. And Christ alone. This gracious invitation is that of the Saviour himself. The only one who can offer this promise of rest. The rest of your soul. and fulfill that which he offers. Yes, he is willing and he is able to fulfill that which he offers. He has both the authority and the ability to give rest. Now we read somewhat of his authority to do so in John chapter 17 and verse 2, his high priestly prayer. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And that word power there can be translated, it is the same word for authority. So Christ has the authoritative power to give life to all or to as many as the Father has given him. So he has the authority to fulfill this promise of rest. But he also has the ability. Look at verse 27 of Matthew 11. The last clause, except the Son, or save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You see, Christ has the ability to reveal the Father of love. He has the ability to reveal him on to sinners. Therefore, we should consider very seriously this invitation of Christ to come unto him. The person of Christ has all the resources and attributes of the Godhead to fulfill this promise. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He has the ability and he has the authority to fulfill his promise. Yet, dear saints, it is of great importance to also remember that he is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Christ suffered as we suffer. Christ bore our burdens in our own nature and our sorrows that we endure, and yet without sin. Without sin. Important to remember that he has our nature and heart still in heaven. Christ at the right hand of God is still in our nature. He is the God-man, yet he still has our heart. The heart of Christ towards sinners. In this invitation to come, we also see the largeness of the heart of Christ for sinners. And that leads us then to our second point. Invitation to all that labour and are heavy laden. It is in our consideration of this head that we will see that this invitation is of a special and a peculiar nature. Now there are those, and they are eminent ministers of the word, and they are excellent preachers of the word, but they treat verse 28 as a general call of the gospel. And they state that all men who are born by ordinary generation, all men who are born of Adam, are found in this condition. That because of sin, all men labour and are heavy laden. Well, that's not what Romans chapter 3 tells us. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 18, tells us something very different indeed about men who are born of Adam. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. How then can all men be labouring and heavy laden with the guilt of sin, burdened with sin? What do we read in verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, men may teach that this is a general call of the gospel out of a fear of being seen as being too narrow in their gospel offer, or seen to be limiting the gospel in some way. And what I mean is, they may be conscious that they might be labelled as denying the free offer of the gospel. Well, that is why I showed you the difference between the general call and a peculiar call of the gospel. But if we treat this as in the general category, do we not deny Christ's word by seeking to show ourselves to be broader than Christ himself? That is the danger with treating this text in this way. Dear saints, I suggest unto you that no man has a larger heart of compassion than Jesus Christ. None. So what must we do? It's quite simple. We must deal with the text. We must deal what is within verse 28. And what we find is a call to come and to rest to those who are burdened with the sense of guilt, the guilt of sin. Those who are conscious of the wrath of God. Those whose hearts are heavy with sin, and who are weighed down in the despair that the realization of sin brings to an awakened sinner. Such have a sense of the power of the evil in their own hearts, and they know that they need relief. They are convicted. They are troubled by the wickedness of their own heart. So I suggest to you, it is to such that this invitation that we have in verse 28, it is to such that this invitation is especially intended. This is what Thomas Goodwin, remarking on this invitation in verse 28, he says, there is another invitation to come to Christ, which is on purpose, directed to such as are but as yet under a work of preparation unto their coming to Christ. What's he saying? He's saying that this invitation in verse 28 is especially to those with whom the Holy Spirit is troubling, whose hearts are being prepared, who are sinners who have been awakened by the sovereign work of the convicting Spirit of God. Think on the order that is found in that great text of John chapter 16 and verse 8. It speaks of the Holy Spirit, that comforter that is to come. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And that word reprove, children, is convince. See, this is the initial work of the Holy Spirit upon the sinner, to convince them of their sin and of their need of Christ. They are brought to an end of themselves. They can do nothing else but come unto him who will give them rest. And further, I would state that there is no promise in this text for the hard-hearted and the careless man. Those who do not want rest from their sin. Why? Because they are not burdened by that which they have satisfaction in. The hard-hearted and careless man does not want this rest. Why?
Because he is fully satisfied. He's fully satisfied with his sin. This text says nothing at all to such. And the old Anglican preacher, Charles Bradley, he remarks, there are no words of comfort in the Bible for such, for hard-hearted and careless men. And yet we have a great promise here given to those who labour and are heavy laden. The great truth is that this does not limit the text at all. It doesn't make this gospel call narrow. Why? Read the text carefully. Look what it says. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. All. Therefore we see here the largeness of the heart of Christ to receive all those who labour and are heavy laden. Not only does Christ have the capacity to receive them, but he has the willingness to receive them. You think of this. You think of the burdened sinner, weighed down with great guilt, heavy laden, brought to the end of themselves. And yet Christ is able. His heart is as large that he says to all such, all come unto me. Surely this is a cause for gladness and for joy. Christ, as the Saviour, is able to take all burdens of guilt and all affliction of soul. There's no narrowness in this text. This text is as broad as all. Christ says, all that labour and are heavy laden, come unto me. Now we have a number of biblical illustrations that prove our very point. We read this morning from Luke chapter 15, and that parable of the prodigal son. And in verse 17, we read, and when he came to himself, he came to an end of himself. This son who had run away, he was here found in contrition and in conviction. He had brought ruin to himself. And he had, by the work of the Spirit, no doubt, been brought to an end of himself. That's what it's teaching us. What about Luke 18 and verse 13? And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What do we have here? Here is one who labours and is heavy laden. The publican was brought to an end of himself. He knew that he was worthless. And he smote his own breast. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What about the Pharisee? The Pharisee isn't one who labours and is heavy laden. The Pharisee is one who is found in pride, hard-heartedness, and we could say religious carelessness. You see the difference between the two? And what do we read in in Acts 2:37? Of those who heard the word, they were pricked in their hearts. Now, dear friends, we need, of course, to caveat all this with the added clarification that it is to Christ that we are to come, and not onto a heavy burden. What do I mean? Well, some come onto this heaviness of conviction, of burden, the burden of guilt. And what do? They stay there.
They stay there. It is this that some men rest in. They rest in their contrition and conviction. But this is not what sinners are invited to. Sinners are invited to come on to Christ. This is where we see the balance, is it not, of the general call of the gospel which we have in Scripture, that call, come or look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. All men who hear the gospel, all men who hear the gospel are obligated, are commanded to come to Christ, not to contrition. To Christ, not to a heavy burden of guilt. But, as our text states, if you are found in this state of contrition, the call before us is not to stay there, but it is to come and to find rest for your soul. Well, that leads us thirdly then to an invitation to receive rest. Our text says, and I will give you rest. And then in verse 29, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You see that? I will give you rest. Again, we are confronted with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will give you rest. Dear friends, Jesus Christ will not withhold this grace. He will not refuse you this grace. He will not direct you elsewhere. But he here rather categorically states, I will give. I will give you rest. With Christ, dear friend, the promise is never left unfulfilled. So what is this rest that is here promised? What is it? It is not as some would like. What do some, or what would some like? Well, they would like rest in sin. And it is the hard-hearted and careless man who wants rest in sin. Those who find satisfaction in sin, those who find fleshly comfort in their sin, seek only to rest in their sin. So that's not the rest that Christ is here offering. But to those who are burdened with this weight of sin and of guilt, they will get rest from sin. You see the difference? Not rest in sin, but rest from it. Rest from the guilt of sin. Rest from the pollution of sin. Rest from the dominion of sin. And also, some want rest from trouble in this world. They want rest from trouble that their sin brings. They want to enjoy their sin without the trouble. Because we all know, sin brings trouble. Sin brings trouble. Some want rest from trouble in this world. But what is promised to those who come unto him is rest in trouble while on this earth. You know, life is full of trouble. But it is only when we come unto Christ that we will in any way experience a degree of rest in whatever trouble we find ourselves in this world. We will say, let trouble come if it is God's will, for we will continue to rest in Christ. And we see here that this helps us to see better, doesn't it, this peculiar call, the difference between the general call and a special call. Christ here offers the soul a rest that only he can give. And he gives it to the whole man. You will have rest of conscience, rest of intellect, rest of heart. In a word, he brings complete satisfaction to the spirit. Rest from the terror of sin. What a rest that is. Rest in a well-grounded peace of conscience. There's no greater rest than that. A peace of conscience. And it is this promise that goes out to those who are of a troubled conscience. Why therefore would you not come? Because it is in Christ that your conscience will have rest and peace and tranquility. And rest from the power and from the dominion of sin over them. Well, what are we to do with these most gracious words and this most gracious Christ who offers this most gracious promise? Well, to the believer, first, you are not to treat this invitation to be to the awakened sinner only. And you might say, well, does that not contradict that which you have just said? But remember, I'm speaking to the believer. Believer, you can still use this promise for yourself. What do I mean? Well, do not view this as an invitation accepted and done. That once you have accepted it, you can no longer avail yourself of it. Yes, primarily, it is a promise to the saving of the soul. That is what is being promised, a rest to the soul. But, dear believer, we ought to remember daily that Christ is the great Saviour of our soul. And in him, our soul finds happiness and rest. So therefore, dear believer, if you are troubled, you can continue to take up this promise, once believed, and now use it to sustain you in times of trial and affliction. When you are afflicted of soul, when you are burdened, you go to Christ, the one in whom you have found eternal rest. Well, I suggest to you, dear friend, that if you find yourself in such contrition, such disturbance of soul, such conviction of sin, why would you not come to the physician of the soul? The great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he has given you a promise. He tells you, come. And we've already noted that he has the authority and the ability to fulfill that which he promises. And he is sincere. You will find no more a sincere heart than the heart of Christ himself. If you have a physical burden, what do? You go to the doctor. Maybe you have a consultant. You go even to the surgeon for remedy and bodily rest. That's the wise thing to do, isn't it? No one would allow anything to be an obstacle in their way. They would go to the doctor and they would find relief. Dear friend, do you know this burden of soul? Do you know of this contrition? Have you been brought to an end of yourself? Well, hear then this special invitation that is given for you. This invitation of the gracious Saviour to all those who are burdened such. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let us pray.